Well, good morning, everybody. This morning is shaping up to be a little different. We're going to start out this morning with some prayer, just to kind of get in the mode to worship. I'm not going to lead us in song. I'm sure you're glad of that. But we had a last minute thing with Andre. He was going to lead this morning, and along with Meredith, she was going to sing. Last minute, Andre's sister, Stephanie, some of you guys know her, Stephanie and Hunter Davis. Stephanie's pregnant with twins, is at 23 weeks and has had some complications this morning. In fact, the babies were delivered this morning, 23 weeks. They're both like 1 pound, 2 ounce, and so in ICU. And so Andre obviously, you know, had our blessing to go and be with his family. I let him know that we would pray specifically for them, and then also we're going to pray in some other ways this morning, just as a way to worship. I know it's different, you know, I know we like to sing and everything, but just a reminder that we don't have to come and sing to worship, that this is still worship as well, because our hearts are tuned to the one true God. Amen. And we pray. So let's do that. Brandon's going to just play a little music just where it's not as awkward. We're just gonna pray. So if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes for me. I just want to lead us in a prayer for Hunter and Stephanie. Again, Hunter, maybe if you've seen him at our Thanksgiving lunch for the homeless, the one that kind of heads up a veil, and his wife, Stephanie, Andre's sister. So just if you will, let me pray for them, and then just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to just guide us in a few things I think would be beneficial to pray over this morning. Father, we love you. You're a good God. I can't imagine Hunter and Stephanie's feelings this morning, and just all the emotion and all the things that are going on. To deliver a baby at this time, at 23 weeks, and then another baby is twins. One, it shows us about life. This 1 pound, 2 ounce baby is a human being, a life that you created. It's amazing, and it's beautiful, and all of these things. Father, you've already just brought their hearts to a love relationship with their children, even as they grew in mother's womb. And so as they're at a critical time right now, and families gathered around, families flown in, Andre and Chandra are there with them. God, that you would just minister to them, that you would bless them. They all know you. They all have a relationship with you. Hunter does, Stephanie, Andre, Shanda, many of the family does. Father, if it would be real easy to question and doubt and to have thoughts like that come into their mind. And Father, I just pray that you would just, Holy Spirit, that you would speak above those things, that you would comfort them, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them grace. As your word says, just peace beyond all understanding, all comprehension that humans can come up with. The Holy Spirit, you would be there. You are the great comforter. And so we thank you for that. Be with Andre and Shanda as they minister to their family and away from us this morning. We miss them. Father, just pray that you do that. As we continue to pray this morning, I just want you to stop and come to a place. One, just maybe even having to do that pulse check just to remind yourself, but just to thank God for the life that is flowing through your body, the pulse that is giving your heart rhythm, the breath that is in your lungs, just where you're at in your seat right now, just thank God for that. You do that privately. Thank you for your life. From that pulse, from that life that God has given us, really, He made you who you are. He created you to be who you are. you were born, who you were born to, where you were born, all of those things were not accident. Thank you for making you who you are. Father, from this, we just say thank you for creating us who you made us to be, with a great purpose, a purpose that I believe only we can fulfill, that you created us for. And from that, not only did you make us who you wanted us to be, you called us to do what you wanted us to do. And from that, we just say help us to be willing participants in that, that we would listen. First off, to the call to salvation, that we, if we don't know you, would come into a relationship with you. Father, from there, you're such a great God that it doesn't just stop there. We've seen week after week in this call series that you have special jobs for us. And some may not be the magnitude of what we see in Scripture, at least in our minds, but still with great purpose. And that purpose is for your glory and to bring others into that relationship with you. And so help us in that. And Father, with that, lastly, we just pray that today, as we continue to look at this story called, that we would just come to a place where we would hear from you, we would listen, we would obey, and we would do what you've called us to do. Help us in that. We sometimes think that we have a better way, a better plan, a better idea, and Father, forgive us for that. Forgive us for our arrogance. We'll see in today's calling, today, scripture that we look at, just really in comparison to you, how really just small and insignificant we are, but yet somehow you still desire a relationship with us. It's the beauty of the gospel. In the same sentence of the gospel, somehow we are beggars at the king's table, and yet at the same token, the same voice, heirs to that same king. It's amazing. We thank you for that. We're unworthy. And Father, we just pray through your Holy Spirit this morning. Speak. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the relationship that we can have through you because of the sacrifice that was made by our Savior. We love you. We pray and we ask all these things and ask that you continue to speak this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Awesome. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6, looking at one of our last segments of call. Explain this the series I've kind of told you each week, looking at these individual and group callings and how that translates to us as individuals and as a body, right? This is the last week that we'll be in call. Next week we'll start a new series. But it's been so encouraging to me to hear people talk about, man, I'm hearing God tell me this, or will you pray for me about this? I'm really praying through what this means in my life, and it's been really exciting. And so with that, I really felt like the Lord will bring us back to just kind of continue this series at different times in our life as a body, that we'll stop and we'll look at other callings that people have had in Scripture and really look through this. So I pray that He continues to speak today. Read with me in Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and say this to these people. Can you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your word. We believe that even in an old story like this, that your word is God-breathed and with purpose. And so today we just pray that you continue to speak fresh and new truths to us. And Father, just ways that we can apply this to our life and that we can look at this story. God, is perhaps maybe even the first time hearing it, and look at it in a fresh way. Father, I pray that you just speak through the Holy Spirit this morning. If you're calling someone in here today to salvation, I pray that today would be the day. If you're calling someone into some act of service or some specific job you have, may we listen, may we obey, and may we do what you've called us to do. We love you, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody good? Ready to go? No? All right, awesome. Well, we're going to go anyway. Everybody all right? I know it's kind of awkward this morning, small crowd. Y'all didn't like my singing. Deidre, you missed my song this morning. Everything's good, all right? Let's look. We'll get in. Should I ask that again? Should I ask again? Are y'all ready to go?
Yes.
All right, awesome. That'll work. Let's look at verse 1. I love this starting here. Isaiah is this recounting, is kind of happening of this amazing story. He talks about this in the idea of the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah was this good king, and especially for the nation of Israel, it was this very just a wealthy time, just this awesome time, this prosperity, and all of this stuff had come to an end, obviously, with this king's death. It was now over. It really caused this great panic within the nation, and probably even great panic with Isaiah. And all of these things, he remembers this, that this is a good king, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. I want to stop here for just a second and think about this. I believe what's happening in this is Isaiah is remembering just a tragic event in his life. But then he's going through and saying, through this tragedy, through this just time of grief, through this turmoil, even in our nation, God, you were faithful. God, you were there. You didn't forget about us. In fact, you had a purpose for me and a calling that you've given me. So in this time of the nation's kind of doom and gloom, in this desperate time, God shows up. Now, I want to challenge you this morning, while it may not be as extreme a circumstance in your life, like there may not be a kingly death, there may not be this huge national calling on your life and all of these things, I want to remind you that if you're going through the tough times, hang on. And I tell you that, and I tell you to embrace the struggle. And that may sound like the weirdest thing you've ever heard, but I want you to know some of the sweetest times in my life have been when I've been in the midst of turmoil, chaos, and just not even knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next. And I can look back at the end and tell you that every time, hello, I'm still standing here, that God took care of me. Amen? And so I want to just remind you to do that, to embrace the struggle, even as you possibly are going through it at this moment, to hang on, to seek, and you will find. That's what Isaiah did. This was the time that King Uzziah died. It was doom and gloom for everyone, but he saw God show up. I want you to look at this. Just try, if you will, as I pray, to see this as if you're reading this for the first time. Here's what it says that Isaiah saw. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. I want you just to stop there just as much. And if I could go mercy me here and sing, I could only imagine I would do it for you, but you don't want to hear that. But I do want to put you in that place, and I want you just to stop and think, if I could only imagine this moment. Right, and I want you to take out any of the descriptions that are mentioned later in Scripture. I want to take you just to this moment right here. You standing before a holy God and seeing Him seated on the throne. I want to tell you, if that doesn't bring up something in you, that, you know, I say it sometimes, the redneck expression, if that doesn't light your fire and your wood's wet kind of thing, that moment, I mean, think about that. We're about to see all of the things that looks like and all of the things that brings about and all of the emotions that Isaiah will feel and all the things that happen. But just stop right there and imagine seeing God, the Holy One, seated on a throne. Or to be honest, if really we didn't have the rest of the description, and Isaiah said, man, I saw God seated on a throne, and it was amazing. End of verse. Like, right, we could understand. We could say, man, just to have an audience with God, to sit there and be able to see God, but it doesn't stop there. Listen, here are some of the things that Isaiah says about the Holy One seated on the throne. Listen to what it says. It says that He is high and lifted up. Do you believe this morning? We hadn't sang anything this morning. I don't know if we need to sing something this morning. I'm feeling a little bit of deadness this morning, but can we just stop and give a big, big old amen to the fact that God, our God, is high and lifted up.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't understand, even if you want to know the truth, everything that probably He even means. Like, does this mean that God is like floating high and lifted up? Does this mean just the weight of God is high and lifted up? I'll tell you, I know one thing it means is that He is the King of all kings. His courts are higher than any courts, and He is above all. And it says that He is high and lifted up. Now, if we just stop there, right? Isaiah saying, man, I see this vision. I see God seated on a throne. And I want to tell you, it's not just this little puny throne. He is high and lifted up. It's above any other throne. It would be amazing. Listen to what it says. The train of His robe filled the temple. I don't know about you, but that is a big, stinking robe. I mean, think about that. This whole temple. So we see God seated on a throne. He's high and lifted up. And it says that just this robe just fills everywhere. I mean, that's a massive robe, right? And it's this amazing picture. And it doesn't stop there. He sees the seraphim. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but these are fiery angelic beings. I don't even understand all that. But it says they're fiery angelic beings. It goes to the word, the Hebrew and all that stuff. All right, these fiery angelic beings. And so probably an amazing sight to look at. God seated on the throne, high and lifted up. His robe fills the temple, and fiery angelic beings are flying around. All right, that would be crazy enough, but listen to what He goes on and explains them. He says six wings, two covered their face, two covered their feet, and with two they flew. You like that? I feel like I'm in Angels in the Outfield right now. Anybody ever seen that classic? Mm-hmm. All right, good stuff. Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I just felt like it for a moment, all right? All right, two wings, they covered their face. Two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew, and they're on fire. I want you to put yourself in this place right now. And I ask you to do this for a reason. You are before God. He's seated on a throne. He's high and lifted up. Robe fills the temple. Fiery beings. Two wings, they cover their face. Two, they cover their feet. With two, they fly. And man, what a vision. Right? What an amazing moment that He's come to, but it doesn't stop there. Now, I want you to stop and I want you to think about these beings. Not to put any credit on angels or to worship angels. That's not nothing that we should do. But this is probably a pretty impressive sight. Right? To think about this being that is flying around and He's got four other wings covering other parts of His body and He's on fire. I want you to know a being like that is probably powerful enough to say anything that they want to say. Right, to do anything that they want to do within reason here in this setting. But there is one word that seems to be their favorite. What is it? What do they say?
Holy.
Holy. Holy. Now I want you to understand what the definition of holy means. Here's what holy means. Exalted, meaning put in its proper place, or worthy of complete devotion. One perfect in goodness and righteousness. Listen, our God is so perfect in goodness and righteousness that one holy won't do. Holy. And when these fiery beings were flying with their two wings and they're covering, and they said, holy, that's not good enough. Holy, that's not good. Holy is the Lord God. Right? The whole earth is full of His glory. And then it says when they get tired of that, they just start over and do it again. They look back to this God that is seated on the throne, high and lifted up, robe filling the temple, and they say, oh yeah, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Over and over and over they say this. The whole earth is full of His glory. It's a pretty amazing picture that's painted here, right? Does it stop there? It says, the foundations and the threshold shook. Listen to this. I find this so just utterly amazing. When I get to this place in this passage here, it's not that God like walks in, sits on His throne, high and lifted up, robe filling the temple, these beings, and like makes a bolt of lightning or makes an earthquake happen. Listen to what it says. It says, the foundations and thresholds shook at his voice. I can't even, this does an amazing job, and this is what Isaiah saw, but it just words escape us to explain the holiness that's in this moment. I mean, God that is seated high and lifted up and all of these things, and it says, at the voice of him who called, it says, the foundations of the thresholds shook. Now, I want you to take any actor you know, any that you want to think of, right? Jack and I are partial to James Earl Jones. There's a reason for that, right? Darth Vader, nerd reference today. All right? All of these, like, booming voice, amazing voice. But James Earl Jones can stand in a room and speak, and I promise you the threshold will not shake. The foundation will not shake, but a holy God, it says that it shook at his voice. I want you to know judgment houses can't get this right. Anybody ever been to a judgment house? Anybody ever been there? Do you know what they are? Know the premise of them? I was there one time and really disappointed. I finally made it to heaven. I got out of that hot room that was hell, and they was trying to scare me to death. And I got to heaven, and they said, Keith Atkins, you're home. And I'm like, man, God didn't even get my name right. That's not, you know, it just kind of lost effect. I'm like, hopefully it won't be that way. I'm just going to be happy to be in there. But right, judgment house can't compare to this. His voice, the foundations actually shook. Then it goes on to tell this. The whole house was filled with smoke. I mean, can you just imagine just for a brief second? And can I just stop right here and say this? This holy God that is seated above any other throne, the throne of Washington, D.C., the throne of any throne around the world, is seated high and lifted up, beings at this moment saying, holy, 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 are you God? You're high and lifted up. The whole earth is full of your glory. All of these things. And at a moment's notice, if you know him this morning, you can say this word, Father. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm really convicted to the core of moments like this when I look and I see the holiness, the absolute, just uncomparable holiness of our God. And at a moment's notice, I can call on his name, and many times I go throughout a day and don't. How in the world? Right? How can we come to a place in life where we live such an arrogant life and say, I got direct audience with this Holy One, right? This Holy One who's given me his word and has given me the Holy Spirit and all of these things through Christ, who died in my place, by the way. And I go through my day and don't even utter his name. Man, God help us. How can we find out who we're called to be and what we're called to do if we don't even ask, if we don't talk, and we have an audience with a holy one that just has a willing and listening ear? I pray that we do that as a body. I pray that we do that as individuals, that we will take audience. So that's God's holiness, right? Isaiah sees this, he looks at the holiness of God, and then really when he comes to a place of seeing God's holiness compared to himself, here's what he says in verse 5. Woe is me. I want you to just keep your hand right there and turn to Isaiah 64. You've heard this quoted, but I want you to understand who said it and what it means and all of this stuff. Isaiah 64, verse 6. It's amazing seeing someone like Isaiah, seeing the holiness of God, right? Seeing this amazing experience that he saw. You hear this saying about our righteousness, but understand who it was that said this. Isaiah 64, 6, and your translation may read a little different. Mine says this, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Some of you say filthy rags, right? And we all know what that is, but this is a guy that in light of seeing God's holiness, in light of seeing how holy he is. And this whole experience here, he was the one that was later able just to say, you know what, compared to God, our righteousness, right? On my best day, right? The best things that I ever do, it's just like filthy rags, spoiled garments. That's what it is compared to what I saw. And so really coming to this place, Isaiah has this woe is me. And then he goes into a place where he says, not only woe is me, but I like to think he kind of threw some Southern English in there where he says, man, I am ruined. You know that word? That's Greek for ruined. Ruined. I mean, at the core, like really just everything that I've seen and everything that I can compare to and looking at this, I really am just ruined. In other words, what Isaiah is saying in this moment is honestly, in light of the holiness of God, in light of the holiness I've seen, I don't know that I will live another moment because I just shrink in comparison to the holiness that is around me. And you imagine, right? Imagine being in that moment and seeing everything that he did. And he says, I am unclean, I am unholy, and my people, in other words, my nation, are unclean and unholy. In other words, Isaiah is coming to a place and saying, we've got nothing to compare with this right here. This is holiness. And so I think it takes us to a place in Scripture today where we say, if you want to be called by God, one, into a relationship with Him, but also to find out what you were made to do, I believe we all have to realize, in light of God's holiness, when we see ourselves and compare ourselves to Him, because here's the problem in today, what a lot of people try to do is compare themselves to someone else. Right? They'll look and say, well, Keith's a pastor. Man, I'm a lot better guy than he is. I'm a lot better person than he is, then I'm okay. There's only one problem with that theology. I'm not who you compare to. I don't compare to you. I don't compare and say, man, I heard what Brantley said the other day. I don't ever say that. Sorry, Brantley. You know, I'm okay. I'll tell you what it is later. I don't feel comfortable saying that. Right? I don't compare myself with other people. You see, we're really in this thing, this race of the Christian life and Christ-like faith and pursuing after that, as Paul talks about in Philippians. And the problem with living life like that is we don't compare ourselves to other runners in the race. We compare ourselves to the judge. Holy. And the Bible tells us that when we do that, that we fall short, way short. And what we do by falling short, you guys know this, is that the wages that we earn from that is death. There's no other way out except for Christ. To be called, you have to have a moment, I don't think just one time, but I think daily, where you come to a place like Isaiah did and say, in light of me falling short, in light of who he is, in light of the fact that he is holy, 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 woe is me. Right? Woe is me. Now, the great thing about God is that we don't have to stay in that place, right? When we have our woe is me moment, we can kind of go beyond and really hear where Isaiah has to rely on an angel taking a coal from the fire and placing it on his lips, and the symbolism of your sin is atoned for. Well, listen to what we get. Flip over to Isaiah again. This is someone who prophesied hundreds of years before. Isaiah 53, listen to this. You know the passage, but man, it bears repeating. Here's what he talks about as the substitute for us. When we have that woe is me moment, Isaiah was pointing to one that would come, and we know it's Jesus. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs. I want you to look at all of the personal aspects of this, born our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Man, when we have that woe is me moment, we have a substitute. He took our place and is dying to have relationship with you. intimate relationship with you. And listen to me, not just a one time, but a daily, continual relationship God desires to have with you. That's the first place we have to start, is to have a woe is me moment, to be called, be it salvation, and I believe a continual moment of seeing in light of His holiness. But number two is to realize that everyone else has to have that moment too. That's the point of a calling. And if you don't understand, let me explain this. Your woe is me moment isn't just for you. It's not. It's not just a great love story that stops at a place where you come to a realization in your life, Jimmy, where you come to a place and realize that, hey, Jesus died for me. Woe is me. I need to believe in that. I need to accept that. I need to live life and have this relationship with God through Christ. And woe is me. And if I just take care of me, everything will be fine because Jesus died for me. That woe is me moment isn't just for you. It's really to propel you into living a life called to serve others, right? That's why we would come to a place in Scriptures that we look and we say, let's look at this idea of a calling, is because I believe very strongly that each and every person in this room has a calling on their life. Not just a calling to salvation, but if you're called into salvation, you're called to serve. And it's because other people need to have this woe is me moment. And we see this in the Scripture this morning. After this restoration from this woe is me moment, where Isaiah has his lips touched and by this angel and all of this stuff, listen to what a holy, holy, holy God says. Verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, that same voice that shakes the foundations, right? This booming, holy voice, he says. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? See, Isaiah had had his woe is me moment. He had had this moment where he came and said, in light of the holiness of God, I can never make it on my own. There's got to be one. And Isaiah prophesied who that would be, that it would be Christ. And he would die in our place. But that woe is me moment took Isaiah to a place of calling where the voice of God said, okay, now you know. Right? Now you know that I'm holy and you know that you're not. And you can never make it on your own. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? By the way, us, right? The Trinity. Who shall go for us? Listen to what Isaiah says. After a woe is me moment, and in light of the holiness of God, in light of being called into this relationship with God and knowing God personally now, here's what he says. Here am I. Here am I. Send me. You see, he reached this place where he had been just involved in the holiness of God. Knowing that he was ruined, and knowing that there was this woe is me moment, and knowing all of these things, and knowing that there was no possible way to just eclipse the holiness of God other than through the blood of Christ that he would prophesy for. And he says, here I am, send me. And I didn't get into the whole calling here, but it goes on and it says that God said, and he said, go and say to these people. And you can read all of that. It was a national calling that Isaiah had. But he was willing. After the woe is me moment, he came and he said, here I am, send me. I want to challenge you, in a world that only cares about self, millions are dying and heading to a devil's hell. Who will he send and who will go? You see, I believe Isaiah didn't come to a moment and he didn't say, well, there they are, send them. It was personal to him. It was personal. After he was encountered with the holiness and the goodness of our God, when God said, who will I send? He said, I'll do it. I'll go. And I just have to think that possibly even in a crowd this size this morning, that maybe some of you have experienced that nudging of the Holy Spirit. In one way or another. It may not even be a life calling. It may just be in a simple decision you need to make. It may need to be in a relationship that you have. It may need to be in a lifestyle that you have. It may need to be something of a witnessing thing. Someone you need to talk to. You need to share your faith with. I ask you the question this morning. The same thing that God does when encountered with His holiness. And I pray that you have been. I pray that you've seen and experienced the holiness of God through Christ and seen the relationship and have grown in that relationship. I ask the same question Whom shall he send, and who will go? I want you to, if you will, close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. And just think about it in this sense. I want to explain something just real quick. Those that are in leadership here and you know the leadership team that we have, they know this to be true. I find it so just, hate to use the word ironic, but just perfect timing. From what I hear people talking and everything of when this series was planned. It was planned back at the first of the year. And they can tell you that that's true. Gave them that, told them this is where we're going. It's been such encouraging to me to hear people say, man, I've really been struggling with what God's called me to do. And the one thing I kept getting from the Holy Spirit over and over and over, even back then, the one thing I said, I know this is what you're bringing us into this series for. And I want you just to hear the words again. Who did God make you to be? And what did he call you to do? And I just want to say, like, the seriousness of that, the weight of that is this, that if you miss that, right, everything else in life is going to be chaotic. Everything else in life is going to be off kilter until you find out, who did God make me to be? And what did he call me to do? It's very important. I wish it was as simple as our graphic is picking up the phone and just listening. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We do that by praying, by reading the Word, by listening to others with godly counsel, praying with folks, praying to God, and listening. Right? Just listening. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but when I come and I pray to God, sometimes it's this demand and wish list that looks like I'm a kid at Christmas. It's not always about that. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know your needs. In fact, the Bible says he knows your needs and is already at work on them long before you ask. That's the good Father that we serve, the good Father that we have a relationship with. But who were you made to be, and what were you called to do? I ask the same question. Who will he send? Who will go? Can you this morning say, here I am, send me? If not, I pray that the Lord inches you a step closer to that. And we'd love to hear from you, talk with you about any of this stuff, all right? Anybody, just as head bowed and eyes closed, anybody would like for me just to pray specific for you this week? Like, hey, I'm struggling with some of this. Who I was made to be, what I'm called to do. Amen. I'll pray for you, all right? Awesome. And do those things. Pray, listen, read, seek godly counsel, all right? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Father, I know it's been different as far as just how we even started things today. And Father, I just pray that you've still spoken. I know you've ministered to me, and so I thank you for that. Again, pray that you would be with Hunter and Stephanie Davis this morning, that you'd be with Andre and Shanda as they're there, and God, just that entire family. Love on them. Keep them. Comfort them. Father, we just pray all those things for them. God, for those that say, man, I'm struggling this morning. I just want to know who I'm made to be and what I'm called to do. Father, the main thing I think is that there's a willingness to say, I want to know. And so, Father, I think that if we seek, we'll find. I believe that from Scripture. And so, Father, let there be seekers in here this morning say, I just want to know what I was made for, what I was called to do. Father, when we find those things like Isaiah, when faced with the holiness of God and seeing the relationship that we have in Christ, that Father, when the question is asked, any time, whether it be in something small or being something big, that we would be a people, as individuals and as a body, that would say, here I am, send me. Thank you, Father. We love you, and we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. All right. This morning, if you feel led.